time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 12th of November 2011. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by The Village Butcher. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. Saturday, the 12th of November, Jan Scott talked to Sue Fitchett about Poetry Day. She got to know Jim Hannon from the Waiheke Community Board, and she spoke to Scott Will and Pro about a Hidden Issues election forum.
You're listening to Island Life. I'm Jan Scott, and it's a very warm welcome to Sue Fitchett, who's going to talk to us about Poetry Day. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, Waiheke.
Right, now, Poetry Day, when does that happen?
Waiheke's own In the Air Poetry Festival, Liz Eastman from Tivoli and I last year decided it would be really nice for local talent and local writers of poetry and lovers of poetry to have our own little festival. And last year we had 2 days, and that was in October, towards the end of October. This year, we're having a one-day event, also called In the Air, Waiheke Poetry Festival. And it's going to be next Sunday, the 20th of November. And it's going to run from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. with a break in the middle for lunch. People would get bites to eat from cafes, and we'll have very light refreshments there too. And what we've decided in the format this year, which is slightly different from last year, is that we've got some agreed readers, which make sure that we have some readers of poetry, interspersed by having an open mic for other people to bring their own poetry and a musical instrument if they read their poetry with music, and to put their names on the board. We've also done something different this year. I approached all the schools on Waiheke and invited the teachers to talk to their students, because we'd like to encourage and support young budding writers, poets on the island to come to read too. So that's a hope, that we have some young ones.
That's a great idea. Have you had any feedback from that?
From the teachers, who said it's a great idea. It is, of course, time of NCEA and exams, so we're hoping that some people, still some young people, might come.
That'd be great. Whereabouts are you doing this?
We're doing this in the same place as we did it last year, which is in the courtyard outside Tivoli, between the pharmacy in Oniroa and Tivoli in Oniroa. That's central Oniroa. And the shop will be open, and we can put a slight marquee up to keep the sound system dry. And we'll have tables and some chairs there, and so people can sit or stand and listen.
That's a great idea. Now, how did you get involved with this? You're a poet, aren't you?
I'm a poet, yes, and I love poetry, and I'm interested in poetry. And I know there's quite a few poets on Waiheke, and a couple of groups, writing groups, that have, some of them have been going for a long time, where poetry's written. I'm not a member of those. But there hasn't been for some time an opportunity for all writers of poetry to get together on Waiheke. And Liz, who is very good at supporting having poetry books in her shop, and I thought, well, why not get them all together and give everybody a chance to have a voice, local people, because Waiheke's special.
It is indeed. Now, I'm going to have to stop you there for a minute, because I think we've got a bit of a problem with that mic. I can certainly hear a reverberation on
okay,
it.
Okay, shall I move
so, away? So I'll just put a track on and we'll swap mics. Just stick with it.
Some other guy that you knew before, you were this guy, you know I love you more.
Thanks, Credence, for filling that gap. We'll get back to you very shortly. Now, Sue, let's see how we go with that mic.
Okay, is it working good now?
I think it's working better than the other one.
Yes, okay.
Ah, that's better. Yeah, much better. Right, now we're talking to Sue Fitchett about Poets Day, which is happening next Sunday, the 20th of November, at outside Tivoli, between Tivoli and the pharmacy. And any poets or aspiring poets on the island are most welcome to come along.
That's right.
What's the format going to be?
The format will be that we'll have an MC, and that MC is going to be Katie Soljak, and we'll have people reading for 5 minutes. We're going to be fair but firm about the time, so if people are planning to come and read, please prepare material only for 5 minutes
maximum.
Exactly. And then we'll have a whiteboard, and people can put their names up, and then every so often, maybe every 10-15 minutes, we'll have one of the people that we've already has agreed to read, so that we know we've got some continuity. So people can expect at least a reading every 10 minutes.
That sounds great. Now, if anybody's interested in coming along, who should they contact?
Probably the best contact, I'll give my number because I'm not sure that I've got Liz's at Tivoli's number in here. And sometimes the shop is closed, so my number is 372-7600, 372-7600.
That's nice and easy. Do you have to register, or can you just turn up on the
day? No, we're happy for people just to turn up on the day. I mean, if people want to contact, either come into Tivoli and indicate their interest to Liz when the shop is open, or indicate their interest to me or Liz when they see us, or phone us, that would be great too. So we've got an idea of numbers.
Right. Is there a formal get-together of poets on the island? Do you have a sort of a little society or a social group that gets together frequently?
Not now. Over the years, there have been get-togethers, and there have been sometimes performance nights that have been organised by people on the island. But that hasn't happened for a long time, so this is hopefully filling in that gap. Poets in New Zealand, of course, can belong to the New Zealand Poetry Society, which is based in Wellington, which has a magazine, and can network.
Right. And you were involved with the book week last week, were you? I see your photograph in the local newspaper.
Yes, I was involved in the festival last weekend among the lineup of readers on the Saturday afternoon at the barn, which went very well.
Oh, excellent. And so that that book week included poetry.
It did. In fact, we were very lucky. We had one of New Zealand's leading woman poets, who's also been a poet laureate, and that was Jenny Bornholt from Wellington, coming up, and she was interviewed by our own Greg Treadwell about her work, and then also on the Saturday afternoon she read some of her work, and also her husband Greg O'Brien, whose exhibition with Ewan McLeod is at the gallery at the moment, also read.
Oh, that's great. That was very fortunate.
Very fortunate.
Good timing.
Yes.
Right, so the objective of next Sunday, the 20th, for the Poetry Day, is to encourage people to get into poetry writing?
Encourage people to get into poetry writing, and also to enjoy the sound of poetry, because poetry is a oral art as well as a page art, a textual art. And, you know, we know from the schools and from some of the workshops that Selena Marsh has done in the schools that there are younger people who also would like to write. And, yes, we just believe in advocating for and giving an opportunity for poetry to be in the ear, so to speak.
Yes, and it's sometimes a misunderstood genre, isn't it? I think some people sort of think of poetry as being a bit difficult to follow or hard to understand.
I think because it's a condensed, it's often a condensation of condensing of text. And, you know, so there can be a lot of meaning within a few lines of text. And but I guess even in poetry itself, there are subgenres. And one of the people who will be reading on Sunday, Baraka, is someone who oversees practice what's called performance poetry, which is a slightly different genre, where the ear is everything, where the sound and the ability to create an effect is really important to that sort of poetry. But all poetry should have some music, and it may be at times difficult always to understand on the first reading or the first hearing, but there should be something that engages you in the sound.
Mm, that's right. And maybe that's the person's voice, the way that they project it, or...
That can be part of it, especially for performance poetry, but also just in the way that the words and the sounds of the words, the sounds of that language, you know, engages as well.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be beautiful, but it has to maybe create some way in which you takes you somewhere.
Right. To participate in Poetry Day next Sunday, do you have to be a poet?
If you see yourself as a poet, you know, is that how you identify, then you can identify as a poet and come along and put your name on the open mic. There's not going to be any sort of criteria for entry.
So
you could, it's a free event too.
You could bring your favourite poem along and read that rather than original material?
Well, while we haven't thought of that, from my viewpoint, that's fine. In fact, some poetry events in Auckland often start with the poet who's going to read reading their favourite poet. So yes, it's a lovely idea.
Well, sometimes if you read a poem and you don't appreciate it because you're not reading it the way it was meant to be read or meant to be spoken, and then you hear somebody read it and you get a whole new idea of it.
Yes, that can happen, you know. It's really interesting to read a book of poems and then to hear that particular author of those poems to read their own work, because it does give you a different idea and the way they nuance the work.
Yes.
With the voice.
Yes, exactly. Putting different emphasis on different words and that sort of thing. Yeah. Do we have many poets on the island?
Oh, we have quite a lot, and some of them have been writing for a long time, like Mike Johnson and Leela Lays, who have been writing for many decades poetry, and others like Peter Rickus and Alex Stone, who also have engaged in poetry for some time.
Now, poetry doesn't necessarily have to be serious, does it?
No. In fact, one of the poets who will be among our lineup of readers on Sunday is a newer poet, Shivani, or newer in the sense of her performance. And she, in a way, has specialised in a lot of quite humourful, full of humour poetry.
Is this Shivani from Rocky Bay?
Shivani from Rocky Bay, Shivani Lovegrove.
I have heard her poetry and it is delightful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting that sense of commonplace or colloquial humour into a poem is, in a way, is a genre in itself, because it requires a sense of locality and knowing your audience, really, so people can see the funny side, or, you know, understand the allusions in it.
Right. Now, Poetry Day is going to be held at the Tivoli Bookshop, or just outside Tivoli Bookshop, between there and the pharmacy, next Sunday the 20th. That's not tomorrow, but the following week. And it starts at 11 to 1, the first session, and then 2 to 4, the second session. Is there a charge?
No, it's a free event. It's a community event. And everybody's welcome. The only thing is we have no rain day, so if it's looking like showers, bring a brolly.
Right, exactly. But it'll be more bring a brolly for the sunshine.
Maybe bring a brolly for the sunshine. We hope so.
Well, we wish you all the best with that, Sue. Now, if you're interested in getting involved or in reading your poetry, contact Sue Fitchett on
7600.
Oh, sorry, that's my terrible writing. 3727600. Give Sue a ring and indicate your interest so that she knows how many people she's going to have on the program. But if you're not a poet but you're interested in learning more about poetry, then pop along and sit down and listen quietly to it. It sounds like a great event. And we wish you well with it, Sue.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Jan, and look forward to In the Air next Sunday.
Thank you for coming in. We've been talking to Sue Fitchett about Poetry Day, which is happening next Sunday, the 20th, starting at 10, at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and then a break for lunch, and then 2 to 4. So roll up along and support that event outside the Tivoli Bookshop in Oneroa.
Wakey Radio. Radio.
Getting to know you.
Yes, getting to know you. And we're getting to know Jim Hannon today. And a lot of people will know Jim from his job down at Matietia at the ticket office. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks very much, Jan. And you've got a lovely spot here, looking over the bay.
Haven't we ever? And, of course, the other hat that Jim wears, a very important one, is a member of our local board, where he was elected last year or the year before.
Last year, Jan.
Last
yep.
year. Right.
Yep.
Right. Now, the purpose of this segment of the show, Jim, is to get to know the person behind the person we see behind the counter or around the community board table. And you've got quite an interesting background. You're an Aussie originally, aren't you?
No, I'm a Kiwi who lived in Australia for 24 years and did take up Australian citizenship, so I'm a dual national now. And because I appreciate the commitment that people make when they change countries, I regard the citizenship ceremonies that happen from time to time at the Auckland Town Hall as a very important thing for a board member to attend. Denise Roach and myself are very interested in this area. And next week, for example, we have some 13 people from Waiheke that will make a commitment to New Zealand. And I think this is just absolutely fantastic. It's lovely to be on the stage with our Mayor, Mr. Brown, Len Brown, to welcome these new citizens to New Zealand. It's just great.
Yes, it is just great. And I know there's a Rocky Bay couple who are in that ceremony next week, Catherine and Eric Armstrong. And they don't have any family here, so they're going to be there all by themselves. But
okay, well, Denise and myself will be part of their family, and we'll certainly get a photograph with
that's
them.
That's brilliant. It is an impressive ceremony. I went along to one a few years ago supporting a friend, and that was when Dick Hubbard was the mayor. And it was a very impressive ceremony.
It is indeed.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. Now, what were you doing in Australia?
I was with ANSET Airlines of Western Australia, and my territory was Northern Territory and Western Australia. So I got to see a large part of two of the largest states in Australia, and I probably know Australia better than most Australians.
Yes, I'm sure you do. What was your job with them?
I was in initially sales, then major accounts, and then research and market development.
That's
so I got to see work with the mining areas, with the shire presidents, with politicians, both local and federal. Hence my interest in politics, which has basically always been there since I was about 3 years old.
Okay, so and you're still in the travel business, so to speak.
Indeed,
has that
always
been your interest?
Well, yes, indeed. Yeah, my dad was in the railways, so I was born as a railway brat as we travelled from Miller's Flat in central Otago to Owhaka in the Catlins, then up to Paikokoriki, north of Wellington, and then into Wellington itself, where Dad ended up right near the top of the railways, and he was also general manager of Safe Air Freight Express, which is now part of Air New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Hence my interest in transport in general.
Right. So when you left school, did you go straight into the travel or tourism?
No, I actually went into advertising with Charles Haynes, which was a very large advertising agency at the time.
Okay. And what were you doing? Were you
I was basically an account executive.
Okay.
So, yeah, more the selling of our expertise rather than the creative side.
Okay. Yeah. So do you have a creative side?
I do. Well, I like to think so. I like to think I can put pen to paper, but
that's good.
Others would be the judge of that.
But you're not a poet or a painter?
Written the odd bit of poetry, but I don't think I'd show it to anyone.
Ah, well, there you go. I think perhaps we've all gone down that track.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, how did you get involved with your current position with Fuller's?
There was a job that came up basically as a roustabout. This was in 2000. I applied for that job, was told I was overqualified, but convinced them I was prepared to do anything. So it went from there. And it's been a job that I've greatly enjoyed. And certainly now that I'm dealing both with commuters, tourists, and our tourism industry in general, that's the wine growers, the restaurateurs, etc., etc., it's just a very, very satisfying position to be in.
Would be. Yeah. What is your official title?
Relationship Manager Waiheke Island.
Okay. Right. I've wondered that, and I think quite a few people have. They've sort of thought of you as being the ticket office manager, which is not quite correct.
Well, I do like that. I think hands-on is very important as well.
Mm. And that's something that I think I haven't heard a bad word about the staff down there. They're always so friendly, and it's like a big happy family.
Yep, they are. They're absolutely lovely, and I'm extremely lucky to have them.
Now, what brought you to Auckland in how long ago?
Sorry, what's that?
How long ago did you come to Auckland, and what brought you
here? I first came to Auckland in 1969 and left in 76 and came back in 99.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. And,
the reason I came back was my dad was failing in health. They live in Seatoun in Wellington, or did. And I had a bit of land on Waiheke, and I thought if ever I'm going to have a house on it, it's now or never. So I came back. I have never regretted it. It's a lovely place we live in.
So when did you buy that section, and what brought you to Waiheke?
1972, Jan.
Okay.
Way back in 72.
Right. And what brought you here? Was it just a day trip?
I used to go down to Oropew. There was a lady friend I had there. Used to go down there and stay a weekend in a batch that her parents owned. And fell in love with the island then, and felt if ever I had the money, I'd like to get a bit of land on Waiheke, and was fortunate enough to do so.
Yes, indeed. You got in at the right time, I'd say.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed dramatically since those days, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yes.
Yes, yeah. Where to from here for you?
For me, being on the local board, I feel very privileged in being able to represent the people of our island. We have a very good board, I believe. It's mixed talents, mixed beliefs, and certainly in political areas. But I do believe we work extremely well together. And for each one of us, whatever our beliefs are, I think for each of us, our hearts are in the right place.
That certainly seems to be the perception, the perception that I've got. And whenever I've been to a community board meeting or, just reading the local newspapers and whatever, that you seem to be working extremely well as a team.
Yes.
It's a good cohesive group.
Yeah.
And you've got complementary skills and viewpoints.
Yeah, absolutely. We got very fortunate in having Faye Storer as chair. She is fantastic at the minutiae. She's very good on the rules and regulations side of things. She's very good at chairing meetings, whereas I'm someone who likes to just get in and do the business and not worry too much about the minutiae.
No, exactly. I would think that would be one of the frustrations of being on the community board, is that or the local board, is all of the standing regulations and the minutiae, as you say.
It certainly is, and we're still coming to grips with what actual powers we have. That's gradually becoming clear, and I think we're ready to make local decisions locally, which is what we all stood for, local decisions made locally.
Right, yeah, that's great. Now, you also got in behind the half marathon, didn't you? Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, yes.
Promoting
yeah.
the half marathon?
No. Went in the half marathon.
Ah, right.
But mainly as an ability to say I've run over the Harbour Bridge more than anything else.
Right, so that was it. Did you do the one a couple of weeks ago?
No, I did not.
But you've done the Waiheke one, haven't you?
The Wharf to Wharf, yes. And I'd have to say it's very satisfying, but my God, it is a hard run.
Yes.
And it's always so very hot, but
right.
satisfying.
Maybe
and for a good cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe they have it at the wrong time of the year.
We've bought that up, but it probably appears that we get access to more people at that time of the year.
Mm.
So even though it is very hot, the people that compete very often tend to come back again and again.
Mm, right. Yes, because it is a hard slog from even driving it. the hills and the narrowness of the roads and all that sort of thing. And I just take my hat off to people who do it.
Yep. And to you, Jan, representing the Rocky Bay people as the very first stop.
That's right.
And thank you the other year for having that special drink for me.
Yes, the Rocky Bay Cruising Club Pirates.
That's the other thing is having community groups manning the drink stations. It's a feature of that event.
Yeah, because they all have their own slant on things and they all do their own quirky things. And
they do. And it's great. And when you're getting very tired, it gives you a lift when you see those people who are not only giving you the drinks but cheering you on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you actually hit the wall on that, as they say?
Well, probably the first few steps you've hit the wall. It's just a matter of keeping going after that.
Yeah.
As you get older like me, the wall is always there.
Yeah, I suppose so. So are you going to go on another one? Or?
Yes, I'll be in next year's one, but only from Orapu to Onitangi.
Right. Yeah. Which is probably the toughest part.
It is.
Although I suppose, people might think you get to Onitangi and, it's not far from here to Matitia, but it's still a fierce slog, isn't it?
Yes, well, basically, yeah.
Is that about the halfway point?
Just over halfway.
Right.
Yeah, just over halfway. So, yeah, it's still a fierce slog.
It is indeed, yes. But it's a great thing. I've been doing the What's On guide this morning, and I've had to do it in three different lots because there is so much happening at the moment.
There is indeed.
And there's been a heck of a lot happening in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we've got Jazzy Dean Garden Safari. We've got the Olive Festival coming up. We've just had the Book Festival, the Walking Festival. Just fantastic for the island.
And
you've seen
in your vantage point down at Matitia how many people are coming over for those.
Yeah, things. And for something like the Book Festival, where you're not sure how things are going, the Peter Matthias event at Mudbrick was absolutely booked out. There were cars right down the driveway. It was, and from where I sat, a very, very successful event.
Mm. Yes, it's good that so many things.
As was the Walking Festival, we did 1,500 registered on the walks, going up from 500 last year. There was probably at least another 500 to 1,000 that walked independently.
Mm.
So a great credit to Janice Reeves and Gary Wilton.
Mm,
yeah, marvellous work by those two.
Gosh, Janice is somebody we'd really notice if she left the island. She's in behind all sorts of things.
An absolute local hero, Jan.
Yes,
we've had two local heroes recently, and Don McKenzie and Greg Dean just recently.
Yes.
So we're
right.
very, very fortunate on this island. We've got a great group of people.
And we
with
have indeed.
Talents, various talents.
We have indeed.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Jim Hannon. We're getting to know Jim, as you would have seen him down at the Matitia ticket office, and he, of course, he's a member of the local board. Jim, what do you do on your days off? Unwind and relax.
Well, I love a glass of wine. I love going out to restaurants. I love socialising, although I also very much like my own space, because when you are at my job at Fuller's and on the local board, you are constantly with people. So, and all the jobs I've had throughout my life have been dealing with people, so you also value your own space. So
indeed you do.
I regard that as very important. And to read a book, I love reading books far more than perhaps watching TV.
So what sort of books do you prefer?
Pretty well anything, but fiction is probably it. Various forms of fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
geography, history.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're very lucky with the library we've got here that, you know, if they don't have it, they'll get it for you, and they've got a pretty wide selection.
Yes. And the new library, that's going to be superb for this island. And we need to make the very most of it, not just with the normal books, but the new IT areas that are coming, the broadband that we is going to be rolled out next year.
Yeah.
Very exciting opportunities, and at this point, the first sods will be turned in June next year. So
great.
That's very, very good.
That is good, yes, because I mean, it's a great space down there as it is, but obviously it's running out of, you know, it's past its use by date.
Yeah.
And they do need a bit more room.
Absolutely.
So,
and it's also great that we were able to separate the service centre from the library, in my own view.
I quite agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and well, I mean, I think the majority of islanders do.
Absolutely.
That's the way the trend was, wasn't
it? It was.
Whenever we were asked, that's what people said they wanted.
Absolutely. So. And in the end, the people of Waiheke will listen to.
That's a great note to end on, Jim. And thank you so much for coming in. And I'll let you go and do your walk around Rocky Bay.
Thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you, Jim.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio.
And it's now my pleasure to welcome Scott, Will and Prue. Welcome, Scott, Will and Prue.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Now, they're going to be talking to us about a community and panel discussion that they're organising for this Tuesday, the 15th of November at 8 o'clock at the Waiheke Cinema. And it's to discuss the hidden issues behind election 2011. Would somebody like to kick me off? And on what has motivated you to put this together? Prue.
What motivated us to put this together was a feeling that, as Alex Stone recently put it,
from 10 a.m.
feeling society was going to sleepwalk its way. Into the forthcoming elections. And we felt that there was a need to look at the compartmentalised election issues that were being put before us in a much broader context. So look at the social and economic history of where New Zealand society had been before on issues like asset sales. But we wanted to do that in a way that encouraged people to look at these issues in a broader context and feel confident to join the dots about these issues.
Right. Now, how did you all get together to discuss this? Did you know each other beforehand?
Well, I think so. I mean, Waiheke is a community, you know. Everyone knows everyone else and everyone knows everything about everyone else pretty much. So I guess we're sort of, led by our concerns, I suppose, about the future, where the country's heading, how, I guess, sort of various policies are sort of sold to us, I suppose, how agendas are set by PR companies to get votes, basically, yeah.
Right. Is there something that has particularly triggered your action, this election, as opposed to others?
Probably nothing in particular. I think it's a whole bunch of things, really. Asset sales, certainly, you know, because as Prue pointed out, we've been there before. The last couple of Tuesday nights on the documentary evening, the cinemas played the films of Alistair Barry, which are sort of about this period of contemporary history of our country. It is about asset sales, the history of unemployment and the policies that have shaped it. And Alistair himself will be coming to the panel, which is on Tuesday night, to sort of give his views on where we are and where we've come from and where we're going. And then on the 22nd, which is the following Tuesday, we'll be playing The Hollow Men, which is the film he made with Nicky Hager about the National Party political, what would you call it, plan for the 2005 election. It sort of goes behind the scenes of that, and it's really quite revealing in terms of what went on.
Right. Do any of you have a particular political agenda? Do you belong to a political party? Or?
I don't, no.
I do. I'm actually the leader of a minor party that wasn't able to register in time for this election, called OurNZ. That's O-U-R. But I mean, this is more about the ideas that face us, the economic, political, social, environmental issues that face us as a nation, rather than promoting any one particular political party or cause.
Right, so it's a philosophy that you're pushing or promoting.
Well, the discussion of philosophies, yeah, right. Maybe pre.
The philosophy, if you like, that we're pushing is that we believe that a healthy democracy requires healthy discussion by the people, and that requires us to be actively thinking for ourselves about the policies that are put before us and about the issues that are deliberately kept from us. So this is about democracy. This is about us coming together and actively
participating
and taking on the responsibility that we have as the electors of government. But it's also very much about us stopping and thinking about the agendas that are put before us in this election, because if whichever way we vote, that will be taken by the government that is formed as a mandate for certain policies. Now, I'm not sure, you know, if you look at asset sales, for example, the polls are currently showing that, you know, there's over 60% of people are not supportive of asset sales, but certain political parties are pushing asset sales. So, you know, it's that we have to think very carefully about what message we are sending political parties when we cast our votes.
Right. So is that the outcome of this, the hoped outcome of this meeting, is that you'll have people considering, reconsidering perhaps the way they were going to vote after hearing what they're going to hear on Tuesday night?
Sure, and the way that they consider how sort of what to think essentially has been put in front of them, you know, and the PR companies that do this, I mean, it's almost like a science now, you know. It's really quite easy to move vast numbers of people around in terms of... there's a great saying, I think it was an American news anchor said it, television news doesn't tell you what to think, television news tells you what to think about, if you know what I mean. So I guess really it's in response to these sorts of things that are put in front of us, really, you know, which a lot of thought and money has gone into.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, on from all parties' angles, they're all trying to put the best slant on their policies, aren't they?
That's right, best foot forward. Yeah.
Right, so the panel discussion, are these the members of the panel are Liz Waters, Alex Stone, Klaus Bosselmann and Alistair Barry?
Yes, that's right, and Will Ryan and Carol Weitzel.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. And that will be facilitated by...
Apparently Chris from this radio station.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's not confirmed, but...
our very own Chris Walker. Well,
hopefully, if he says
put him
yes,
on the
yeah.
spot.
Exactly.
Okay. What sort of format will it take?
Well, it's designed to be quite free-flowing. It's designed to keep moving, so we don't sort of get bogged down in one particular issue, or, you know, we're not listening to one particular person for half an hour. It's designed to keep rolling, really, you know, between audience and between panel.
It's also designed to put specific election issues like the TPP, asset sales, growing social inequity, welfare reform, tax reform, these sort of more specific issues into a much bigger context that is both a context relevant to New Zealand but also a global context as well, and to also frame these things in in the context of what is society about, what is a caring and ethical society about, are we happy with the society we've created today? If we're not, how do we go forward? How do we continue to shape society to make it better? So it's about seeing the bigger picture and where these issues fit within that bigger picture, and it's about contextualising issues from the local to the national to the global and back again.
Okay, so have you got all this together, the information that you're going to present? Have you compiled that yourselves?
Well, we're not so much presenting information. We're just bringing people together. All the panelists come from a wide variety of perspectives. And don't forget, I mean, this is very much about the Waiheke community, giving them an opportunity. And they've got a brilliant community out there. People are diverse. They're rich in their knowledge. This is just a chance for everybody to come together and discuss.
Right.
It's not about us conveying information at all. It's about
enabling the conversation, really.
Right. That's clarified. Thanks. That's good. And yes, the people that are on the panel are a varied lot and vocal lot. And I mean, in a position to have some of the information that people will need to hear. So, what you're hoping will be the outcome of this? Do you just want to affect this election, or do you want to sort of start a groundswell for the future?
Well, personally, I mean, democracy literally means people rule. And for any democracy to work, you know, we talk about spreading democracy around the Middle East and so on. People have to be informed people have to understand how their country operates, basically. If we have taxation systems that most people can't understand, then people can't participate in their society in an integrated fashion. And really, the way we best achieve society's ultimate ends is for us all to understand and participate as a family and function as a unit. And democracy is meant to mean elevating ourselves to this plateau where we can each understand what's going on around us, and that's the purpose of what we're doing here on a small scale, I hope. Yeah.
Right. Yes, we're talking to Scott, Will and Prue, a group of friends who've got together to organise a community and panel discussion this coming Tuesday night, the 15th, at 8 o'clock at the Waiheke Cinema, to talk about the hidden issues behind election 2011 and to invite people to participate in an evening of free-flowing and dynamic discussion, which I'm sure it will be, being Waiheke. And of course there are a lot of issues that people are concerned about on the island. They've made that quite clear in the local newspapers and things. How are you promoting this meeting? I mean, I don't recall really seeing much about it.
I
know you've got a flyer here which you'll be handing out around the place.
That's right. Prue mentioned Alex's column in the Gulf News this week.
Yes, that's right.
Which is, it's, as far as I'm concerned, he pretty much nailed what the evening's all about, what it's in response to.
Yeah, that's Alex Stone's In the Wind column that's headed Smile Over Substance. Yeah. So give that one a read.
And we're passing out flyers and we're on the radio right now.
Absolutely, and hopefully lots of people will come along. And that entry is by Koha, so I guess that's really to cover your costs. Personally, what would you like to see come out of this meeting?
Personally, and not so much the meeting, but just generally, just sort of wider levels of, I guess, awareness of the various forces that impact our lives, often negatively.
We probably, a lot of people know of these things, the global recession and all of those things that are impacting on our lives, but don't really know what we can do about it. Or what anybody can do about it. So, it's how can we make a difference?
Well, I think the first step is knowing about it. Knowing about these things, understanding their causes and where they come from. And I think that spreading information, spreading awareness, cluing people up is a solution in itself. I mean, I think it's sort of, it's arrogant really for someone to sort of sit there and say I've got the answer for everyone. I think a better society, a more improved society, a more just society is something that's arrived at collectively, as opposed to top down from a certain source. Yeah.
Mm. I suppose it's a unique time in our history, really, that so many factors have come together at once to affect us and outside of our country, as well as inside. So it's a unique opportunity really to talk about these things, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's right. So the we're talking about a panel and community discussion this Tuesday night, the 15th of November at 8 o'clock at the Waiheke Cinema, to talk about the hidden issues behind the election. And it's an important one if you're really going to make sure that your vote counts. I just read a quote here that says, it's looking deeper beneath the shallow sales pitches for votes to unveil the real issues that affect our lives and those of our children. And grandchildren and the future children. So the panel will consist of, we know of, Liz Waters, who of course is the editor of the Golf News, Alex Stone, who is a columnist in the Golf News, Klaus Bosselman, who's been around for quite a while, and filmmaker Alistair Barry. Alistair's films have been screening at the cinema over the last couple of weeks, and I think there's another one to come, isn't there?
Yeah, that's The Hollow Men, the following Tuesday
right.
at 8 o'clock at the cinema.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that's a movie he made of the book, Nikki Hagar's.
That's right,
book.
I think they made it together. Yeah.
Right. Are you hoping that there might be other panellists, or perhaps the people will come from the floor?
The idea is, as Prue said, is not so much that the panel is there to give people information and tell them what's going on. It's to basically facilitate and enable the community to come along and contribute as well.
Right, we can really get into a good discussion on the issues surrounding the election and identifying things that are particularly relevant to us.
Yeah, and also identifying things that are particularly irrelevant, you know, that are put in front of us to,
well, there you go.
Make us vote one way or another. You know?
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking of it too, because how often do we think of those things?
Not very often.
Exactly, and that can really make quite a difference in swaying one's thoughts, can't it?
Absolutely.
When you suddenly think, hey, yeah, well, what is that all about, and why should we worry about that? Yeah, it is an interesting one. I suppose it's a little bit unfortunate that over the recent years, the way that our communications have gone and whatever, the PR aspect of politics has really got a big foothold and is a major part of it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And knowing how to put the right slant on it. It's almost like a really good makeup artist in a movie. It's on a movie set or in the television studio. It makes the person look their absolute best, and the cameraman gets the right angle, and you think, wow, you don't see the other side of the person.
Oh, I call that professional lying, for sure. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly putting the best approach on things, isn't it?
I personally think that what we're starting to see is that kind of approach is facilitating a sort of a disingenuous approach to the importance of the issues that society faces. And what is good, though, is that there's starting to be quite a bit of criticism about John Key's kind of pleasant smile as a way of brushing over difficult issues, or that's very disrespectful to the electorate. I think that when journalists or members of the electorate put very important questions to a politician, that they feel that they can just smile and throw out a phrase like that's a discussion for another day, rather than honestly respect the need to answer that question directly and frankly. Absolutely. So it's facilitating this disingenuousness about the whole political process. And, so how can... We shouldn't be surprised that our young people are saying that they're not interested in the elections. They don't want to vote in the elections. We shouldn't be surprised that people are leaving it to the last minute to make their decisions on who they vote for. And it might be just the whim of the day without going deeply into the issues. It's sort of like we're reaping what we sow in that respect. So it's very, very concerning, and that undermines democracy.
But maybe we've got so used to politicians not directly answering questions and not telling us what we want to hear, that isn't that the nature of politics? Doesn't it go right back to the Roman Forum times? I mean, I think I'd drop down to my knees if a politician actually honestly answered a question or directly answered a question.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, to add to that even, it's almost like the public expects them to lie and wants them to lie. And when you trying to lead a minor party myself, we got 484 people, didn't make our 500 in time. You find people don't like being told the truth on a lot of hard issues. And they're offended by it, and constantly told you need to take a PR approach. And to be honest, being young and sort of cut and thrust guy myself, I think that's got to go. I think we've got to take the veneer off politics. I think we've got to take the gloves off and get real before we bear the real consequences of living in fairyland and having these nice little parties pretending everything's just fine with John Key. So, I mean...
Well, what we've got here is the start of a really interesting approach, and if it works, it would make a huge difference to politics. A huge difference.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the mechanisms for people to engage in discourse and have a voice and also get more than one perspective on an issue. That those things aren't very well developed in this country yet. I mean, it's happening globally online, but in terms of New Zealand, its media as it currently is, we're just not there yet.
Well, I think New Zealand is in a unique position for starting this movement to get honesty and directness into politics, because we're such a small nation and the politicians live with us, amongst us, and walk down the street with us without their bodyguards and things like that. So to a degree, they need to be kept honest, and I suppose to a degree you could say that living in that sort of environment does to a degree keep them honest, which is why we don't have corruption like they do in other parts of the world. But there's still a long way to go, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is the start.
I guess so, or it's a continuation of,
Well, I don't know. I think this meeting on Tuesday, the 15th of November, that's this coming Tuesday at 8 o'clock at the cinema, could be the start of a really important movement that may have wider repercussions than we can imagine.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I just think it's sort of important to set an example, if you know what I mean, instead of just, lying there and taking it.
Exactly. So are you going along to the meeting this afternoon, meet the candidates meeting?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Right. So we'll have some pretty direct questions at that meeting. Uh-huh.
You can count on that.
Great. So there we go. You see, we've got Scott, Will and Prue that we've been talking to here about a community and panel discussion they're setting up to look at the hidden issues behind this year's election. And that's being held at the Waiheke Cinema on Tuesday night, the 15th at 8 o'clock, for a free and frank discussion on... It's dynamic discussion on these issues and how we may be able to make a difference with it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got something to say, come along, or just come along and listen.
Yeah, well, we encourage everybody to come along and listen and participate and get to know some of these issues behind the scenes and be able to make an informed decision when it comes to ticking in the box on November the 26th. So thank you all very much for coming along, and good luck with this meeting.
You.
So we've been talking to Scott, Will and Prue about the community and panel discussion meeting they've organised for Tuesday the 15th of November at 8 o'clock at the Waiheke Cinema. Entry is by Koha, and the purpose is a community and panel discussion to look deeper beneath the shallow sales pitches for votes to unveil the real issues that affect our lives and those of our children. So get along.
Island Life,
Waiheke People, Events and Issues. Brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by The Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. Island Life. Waiheke People, Events and Issues. Here on Waiheke Radio every Saturday morning from 10 a.m.